Welcome back. Happy Saturday. You might be out to brunch with your Aunt Susan. You might be at a quick stop at the Home Depot, but we are ready to put in that work here on the show where it's not wrestling with your conscience. It's not wrestling with your budget. It is wrestling with emotion. And tonight, pardonnez-moi, but we've got a PLE in France. So let's get a couple of my homies in here. We got Slick Saturday on his day. Happy Saturday, Slick. We got the Le Prophet, La Brian, and of course, the head of the table, Mike Harvey. Gents, back last Saturday, and we got five championship matches on tap. No messing around when we're in France today.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you are blind, deaf, dumb, stupid, or let's just assume in this case, poor, my name is Slick L, baby, and this is not the show where you're wrestling with your budget. You're not wrestling with your conscience. You are wrestling with emotion, brought to you by the premier gaming destination. No, sorry, what was the question?
Who is this guy?
I mean, what the hell, Prophet? Come on, we need a better start than that.
No, told your intro, maniac. What is with that?
All right.
He acted like I didn't even do an intro. I love it, but Prophet,
I am the Prophet, and this is my show.
What the fuck? Why is it in English?
Je suis le Prophet, et c'est mon émission.
The intern, man. The interns are really screwing up around here.
You just got exposed.
Who's that guy on AEW that you're...
Why are you talking?
One more time, because...
Why are you talking?
One more time, because Parthi talked during
it.
Okay.
I'm the Prophet, and this is my show. And another one. I got another one for you guys.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Okay. All right. I don't mind that. Parthi, what's your excitement level? Prophi. What's your excitement level 1 to 10 for Backlash today?
I mean, it's got to be a 10. We're in goddamn France. It's goddamn France for what we're talking about here. Come on now.
I will say, I don't know if a 10, but the crowd could take it to a 10, Barthy. They were looking like they're on point and looking like it could be a crazy event for the afternoon American crowd here.
You would think they haven't seen a live wrestling show before, and it's their first time to be live with all these the wrestlers, the theme songs that they get to hear, the entrances they get to see. It was basically karaoke night in France.
It was. They were in after it. So speaking of which, let's get after it. But first, we do have to update on the picks percentages for the crucial Wrestling with Emotion here. We take a lot of pride in our picks, so let's get them out here. Parthi still leading the way at 81.8%, but right behind him, it looks like the intern got some capitalization issues, but 80.4%, right on his heels, like only a couple picks behind. Ernie bringing up the rear, 78.3%. Rob Ryan climbing the rankings, 132-43 at 75%. McAdoo at 71.1%. You got me right behind Rob at 74.8%. And then you got Dwayne, Mike, all around 70%. Ali at 90%. And Sweatpants Joe at 78%. Not enough picks yet to count them in the rankings, though. But, yeah, we got the updated picks there. So Parthi's still number one. Rob and myself only about 5%, 6% behind, and Slick just under 1.5% behind. Are you nervous, Parthy? I mean, you might have to turn over. I mean, you and Slick might have to have a tribal rules show coming up here soon.
Tribal combat,
you mean?
Well, yeah, true.
One-on-one, why not?
Bloodline rules.
There are no rules.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll see what there
I
are.
I am
rules.
The table.
I mean, there are rules in their favor in our match, for all we know.
You might be the head of the table, Partham. I am the table.
I'm pretty sure those.
And you're gonna. I'm gonna make you go through a table.
Real quick, I might have to hire another intern.
So it's been 3 weeks since WrestleMania. What are our thoughts on WWE post WrestleMania so far? New Triple H era. We're seeing, it seems like a little bit better storytelling as far as, you know, the details, the way it's done. The angles and some of the cinematography we're seeing, whether it was Sami Zayn's entrance into Montreal or some of the other entrances and the way they're doing, I think that's improved as well. So overall, some very nice incremental improvements to the product. Again, it's very quick, so it's only been, like we said, 3 weeks since. But happy to see those and excited to see what's next. Anyone else with any other thoughts in these 3 weeks post-Mania?
I mean, we got to talk about the Bloodline, the newly formed Bloodline. We all thought that the Bloodline was dead last WrestleMania, and look what they're doing now. It's a completely different Bloodline. We saw last night Heyman saying he hasn't talked to Roman since WrestleMania. He doesn't know who the Tribal Chief is. What the hell is going on in the Samoan family right now?
I mean, yeah, wow. The Samoan family, Partham, thoughts?
Well, yeah, there's obviously a long drawn out storyline that's going to commence here. But without knowing when the timetable is for The Rock and Roman Reigns to return, everybody's predicting SummerSlam, but no reports are out there that's saying, you know, that's a definitive hard date as far as, you know, when Roman's had enough vacation or when The Rock's done filming a new movie. So we don't know how long this is going to play out. But it's definitely playing out, and there's definitely some intrigue and mystery. And it's definitely WWE's currently most, I would say, intriguing storyline, only because there's not really much they can do until they lock down the draft rosters on Monday night after this PLE happens, because there's not much they can do as far as storylines until, you know, they know who's going to be on what roster and they're set that way.
I will say, speaking of the Triple H era post-Mania, I've been a fan. I like the stock they're putting in Cody with this title. And this PLE does define his reign in a way. First title defense on a PLE. But one thing I wasn't a fan of post-Mania Triple H under control was the draft. I think they did a better job constructing the draft, making it feel like a big deal, but the picks were just not it. It just did not feel like an important draft to me in terms of how they were picking superstars and the order in which they were doing. I understand the whole theme of protecting your roster, but I think they could have done a better job in terms of the order and the pick selection, for that matter. But other than that, I really haven't had much to complain about Triple H era post-Mania. It's the first time I've actually been able to watch Raw for 3 hours straight in a very long time. And as a wrestling fan, that makes me very happy.
That's a fair point. Blaine, well said, Slickeroni. With that said, we're getting into Backlash. I do agree this event and this first defense, the kind of how we've gotten here, does kind of define Cody Rhodes, you know, international with the title, everything like that, taking it to a new level. So did Roman ever, like, how many times did Roman defend it overseas? We got Clash at the Castle. You got the Saudi defenses. Was that it?
He didn't do it in Puerto Rico, so that was off. He didn't do it in Australia. Yeah, that might be
interesting.
It.
A lot of time, yeah. Same number of international defenses. Cody's catching up real quick. But speaking of catching up real quick, let's catch up with the sponsor, Batavia Downs. It's Kentucky Derby Day. There's no better day to be at Batavia Downs or to get to your local OTB to make a play on the greatest day in horse racing, the beginning of a potential run at the Triple Crown with the Kentucky Derby. So shout out to Batavia Downs and OTB for that. And with that said, it's time for some train wreck trivia. Batavia Downs and Backlash, same first two letters, B-A. With that said, Backlash debuts in 1999 as a pay-per-view. How many matches were on the first Backlash card, including the pre-show?
I'm going to go with 8.
I'm going to go with 6.
10?
No, over 7, on 7. All of them.
12. 15. 12?
12 matches. You had Kane defeating the Big Boss Man. You had Viscera defeating Test. You had Al Snow defeating Hardcore Holly. You had Mankind defeating the Big Show in a Boiler Room Brawl. You had Triple H defeating X-Pac. You had the Undertaker defeating Ken Shamrock. And you had in a no-holds-barred match for the WWF Championship. Do you have any guesses?
Austin versus The Rock. It was the rematch from WrestleMania 15.
Austin
and The Rock was holding the smoking skull belt hostage.
With Shane McMahon as the special referee there. Little trivia note here. I got for the first 8 backlashes from 1999 to 2006, every main event involved either Triple H or The Rock.
Wow.
Hmm.
That makes sense because typically back in the past with Backlash, they would do just rematches of WrestleMania, and they were probably on almost every WrestleMania. So,
at the 2017 Backlash in Rosemont, Illinois, who defeated Randy Orton to win the WWE Championship?
Jinder fucking Mahal.
Jinder Mahal. Great what job. What a run great he job, had. Barthy. Great job, Barthy.
Why'd you say that was so
how can we not burn that out of our brains?
Why'd you say that with such disdain?
You did say
because
that.
Because I hinder the Jinder. Because he sucks. He's a jobber. They wanted to get into the Indian market. They had nobody better.
Hey, guess what?
Well, that's fair. But also, don't you think that Jinder deserves a little bit more respect? He did a good job on that segment with The Rock.
After years of, figuring out a way to be a hapless, comedy act or whatever the hell, his entire WWE championship ring was the same match over and over again.
Hey, guess what?
Interfere, they get wiped out, and he takes advantage with the distraction and wins with a coloss.
Guess what? It doesn't matter what your opinion is.
That's fair.
If it's right, it does matter. So shut your mouth.
All right, I got one last one. 3 years ago, May 16th, 2021.
Oh, my.
What was the main event of Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash?
2021.
So this would be in the Thunderdome.
So be in the Thunderdome in the Reigns era.
Was this Braun versus Bray? No, that was before. That was COVID. That was 2020.
Yeah, you're a little too early there.
Is this McIntyre?
Nope. It's Reigns versus.
Reigns versus Daniel Bryan? No.
No.
Edge.
He never faced Edge.
Sheamus? Close.
Sheamus?
Nope.
Is he still in the WWE?
Nope.
Not Edge, not Brian.
Christian.
Nope. Christian, bro, come on.
You said close.
You're barking up the right tree, though.
Wait, it's not
Christian. Edge.
Gangrel?
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Cesaro.
Cesaro. WrestleMania Backlash. So you gotta forget stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to remember if Cesaro got squashed. It feels like he didn't, obviously. But Cesaro main eventing WrestleMania Backlash just 3 years ago. So with that said, speaking of main events, we have a lot of matches that could be a potential main event on this card because obviously we have 5 championship matches. That was what was listed on the Wikipedia page for the event. I don't see any other pre-show matches or anything listed. So with that said, let's get into it here on the panel. Not 5 championship matches. I misspoke. We have 4 championship matches and basically a blood feud going on between the Bloodline and Randy or RKO. So with that said, let's start it off with the tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. We have the Kabuki Warriors of Damage Control, who are kind of in no person's land as far as a faction now that Io Sky no longer has the titles, facing off against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Speaking of super over, both were big time over last night at the SmackDown event. So with that said, Parthy, why don't you start us off? We'll go around the horn here. What do you have happening when the Warriors face off against Belair and Cargill?
I mean, Damage Control is kind of on the downside of their run here. Bianca Belair is literally the number one overall pick of the WWE draft, and they're putting a rocket on the back of Jade Cargill. So this is pretty cut and dry. They're going to put a title on Jade Cargill and another one on Bianca Belair because she's pretty much the most, if not at least top three popular women's acts in WWE. So I say Bianca and Jade are going to take this. They're going to win the titles.
Yeah. You're not with the momentum that Jade has, and obviously Bianca has been on her back with her. It's a new era in WWE. We're going to get obviously more title changes, and why not give both AEW stars in their day titles? So Jade and Bianca as the AEW star, Cody.
Okay. I was confused. I really don't think Jade needs to be paired with Bianca here or necessarily vice versa. Feels a bit forced to me, and I don't think they need this spot over established tag team like the Kabuki Warriors. But with that being said, I think it's going to happen. They're both super over, and this just feels like an excuse to get Jade more ring time on TV to eventually prepare her for a singles run, which is not a bad idea, pairing her with the EST. So I'm going to go with Bianca and Jade here. As much as I don't necessarily want them to win, I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, this is actually, as much as Partham loves to talk about it, this is like almost the classic WWE playbook when you have someone that they look as a little bit of Raw or bringing into the system or et cetera, et cetera. You tag them up with a veteran or proven superstar. You kind of have them go on a tag team run so that way, you know, you kind of can see it. I'm not, shit talking to her. Like, this is a great point for your AEW versus WWE, just truthfully. Jade Cargill hasn't done anything differently in WWE than she did in AEW. She's actually presented in basically the same way. She's presented as like a mega superstar, but when she comes in the ring, just dominates. Absolutely no effort, like really needed. No, kind of resistance there. But at the same time, WWE just has a way of making it shine. And so Cargill's obviously shining here. I do expect them to win the tag team titles. And then inevitably, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a matter of 3 weeks? Is it going to be a matter of 3 months? It'll definitely be somewhere in that timeline. Belair and Cargill will eventually butt heads and start a feud where they'll go head to head for probably a month or two. You can keep Cargill outside of the title picture as well by doing that. And ultimately,
one thing to remember is the women's tag titles are the only championships that can float between shows, so they can maximize Jade Cargill's exposure that way.
That's a good point. Good point. That's the table.
I feel like that potential match too has SummerSlam written all over it if you can drag it out that long.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like right now, so what? We're in May. We're 90 days away from SummerSlam, so it's gonna be you easily do it 4 to 6 weeks with them as a tag team, or 1 to 2 months with them as tag team champions. Then you have them lose on a miscommunication, Belair frustrated, or Cargill like thinking she's too better. I don't know. That it would be very interesting to see where they go. Cargill's obviously a face, but it seems to me like she could easily be like Brock Lesnar status, where she's heel or face, doesn't really matter. She's just gonna get cheered no matter what.
It'll be interesting how they avenue Bianca in that feud as well, because she's only ever really been a big time face.
But if you saw SmackDown last night, she still was having a little bit of frustration having to tag with Bayley because of her past with Damage Control. So there's still a little bit of a resentment there. And I don't know if that might lead to a Bianca heel turn of all things. She's basically the John Cena of their women's division.
But we thought that was going to happen already when Street Profits turned, and that never did. So I think they're going to keep Bianca face.
It would be the smart idea.
I don't think she's gonna do any outrageously like heel things like attacking people in the parking lot or you know anything like that or breaking into anyone's house. But I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think she can just do whatever she wants. She's gonna get cheered no matter what. Speaking of getting cheered no matter what, you'd have to be missing the message if you thought that this wasn't over everywhere. We are yeeting left and right. Singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. We got Damian Priest's first official defense as the World Heavyweight Champion against the Yeet Master, Jey Uso. You know, this is a progression of the character in itself that, you know, what was it, a year and a half ago? We were at, nine months ago, we were at SummerSlam. And, you know, Jey Uso was, you know, having his first championship match. Now he's having the first championship match after WrestleMania for one of the big belts. This World Heavyweight Championship match with Damian Priest. I think that these two could really probably put on a really good match. I'm thinking of Jey Uso as just like a slightly heavier Bad Bunny based on what Damian Priest was able to do at Backlash last year. So with that said, I think this will be a banger, but ultimately... And unfortunately for main event Jey Uso fans, Damian Priest needs to kind of go on a run here and legitimize this title reign. So Damian Priest is going to win this one. Slick, what do you got?
Yeah, similar to you, I think Damian Priest is going to retain, legitimize the reign. Jey Uso doesn't necessarily need this title. He's already over like a rover. You saw that French crowd last night. I mean, they were popping for anything, but man, that day one... just me, Uso. That's some crazy stuff. So I think they can go plenty of ways with Jey. He doesn't need the title. And due to Judgment Day interference, Damian is going to retain. And it'll be interesting to see where they go with the reign from there and Judgment Day shenanigans, because those are already plentiful.
Yeah. I'm thinking that, obviously, I think Damian will win, like you guys are saying. You need to legitimize it for a few more months, obviously, until Drew gets it back at a Clash. But I do think that the Bloodline Judgment Day is going to start going away a little bit. I think I could see Finn getting possibly the next opportunity at the title. I don't know what's next. I know King of the Ring, they probably won't have something there. And then what's after King of the Ring? Saudi's King of the Ring. Where are they after that? Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Money in the Bank.
They could have a Finn Damian there. But we'll see. But with Jey Uso, I really do think they need to get a title on him sooner rather than later. I don't know what title that would be, but I don't think you can keep calling him main event Jey Uso if he just keeps losing in the main event. I love Jey. He's going to always be over, but with the name, you got to get a title on him sooner rather than later.
Well, I mean, main event Jey Uso, it's in the name. He's in the main event. He's not champion Jey Uso, not yet, but he will be at some point in the future. I'd say within the next year, he might get an Intercontinental title or a tag team title again, although he's been there, done that before multiple times. But for this match, yeah, it's a little too soon to be taking the title off Damian Priest 1 month into his reign. And Judgment Day is still a force to be reckoned with. I would suspect, and you could see the hints of a face turn for Damian Priest happening, I would suspect Judgment Day tries to pull some shenanigans, and Damian is not having that because he wants to be a legitimate, you know, stand on his own type of champion. And there might be a little bit, you know, jawing at each other and, you know, pointing, you know, get out of my match. You know, what are you doing? You're going to cost me this. And Jey, you know, gets a near fall that, you know, makes the crowd gasp. I'm like, oh my God, are they really going to do it? And no, Damian eventually comes out on top. So Jey Uso is over. And so is his dance. And so is his song. If the American audience could sing it like the French were last night, props to the French audience and SmackDown, and they're no doubt going to be as crazy in Backlash. But hey, the one or two times that the American audience sung it, hey, it looked like it was going to catch on, and it didn't. And that's my only contention with Jey Uso. It's not even with Jey Uso. It's not even with the song. It's with the crowds not singing a song because it's supposed to be over, because it's supposed to be singable. And these guys are acting like they're gaslighting, they're, you know, strawmanning me and acting like I don't like Jey Uso. I do love Jey Uso. I'm down with Jey Uso. I'm down with you, Uso. I'm down with, you know, me, just me, Uso, day one-ish. But the crowds aren't. Not yet. Not yet. So don't suffer these fools into gaslighting you into thinking I hate Jey Uso for some reason, or I don't think he's over. Yeah, Prophet, you take a nap. It is my show, and after all.
Wow. Are you done?
I mean, for someone that's, oh man, that was a big tangent. I'm down with you, Uso.
Parthi, you know, I got to give credit where it's due. 81.8% on your pecs, man. I mean, that's decent. It's credit where it's due. I mean, and I got to give that credit where it's due, because while you're 81.8% correct there, you are 100% wrong about Jey Uso. Like, no one has ever.
What am I so wrong about? Specify what I'm wrong about.
That it's been over since before SummerSlam last year, when Jey Uso literally christened that crowd over. And we were all What's in over? It and we were all yeeting with Jey Uso. It
you're
was over at that
hard.
Point. It was over
you're
at that point.
You're eating with Jey Uso. You're doing this with Jey Uso.
And we were singing along. And we were singing along down since
you're not singing.
We were all
definitely singing.
We were singing.
Individuals might be singing, but I'm addressing the WWE Universe.
There were two things we were doing that night.
We
were singing and we were thanking Trish. We were singing and we were thanking Trish.
Yes. Ferme ta bouche.
No, you're wrong.
You don't steal my shtick.
You stole sunglasses from Maniac. Why can't you steal stuff?
Stolen by Barthy.
That's right. Gimmick
trademarked.
That's literally gimmick infringement.
That's gimmick infringement, and you know it.
That is unbelievable.
All right, his mic's getting muted.
All right, yeah.
Singing. We were yeeting hard. We were definitely singing, and there was a 9-year-old Logan Paul fan next to us who was also yeeting his brains out and singing the Jey Uso song.
Oh my God. I think he drank 3 primes during the SummerSlam. He was so hydrated. It was insane.
He was pounding those things.
It was insane. All right.
Not enough of you. Not enough of you. Some of you are not enough of you to be heard. Not all like Shinsuke Nakamura, not like Sami Zayn, not like Cody and the whoa and the Seth Rollins and whoa.
Okay, relax.
I'm not hearing it. It's not
a long
enough
day. It's a long day. Kentucky Derby at 6:57. Well, let's get back on track.
I gotta get to Parthi.
What time is it?
10:56.
No, it's Tiffany time, bitch. Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. This will be a highlight match. There are a lot of great spots. I think we could see someone. This is going to be crazy. Go through a table in this match right here. That's my wild card prediction for today. Kentucky Derby. But I do not think we will get a wild card in the results. I think Bayley retains in her first match as champion. Triple threat, though, makes me nervous. Triple threat makes me nervous. Slick, what do you got?
Yeah, I think they've focused on the feud between Naomi and Tiffy a bit more than Bayley has even been involved in this match picture. So I'm going to go with Bayley due to Naomi and Tiffy getting involved in their little spiel with themselves, and Bayley retains ultimately.
Yeah, it may not be Tiffy's time yet, but that time will come. Right now, the role model has to keep being the role model.
Tiffy's time will come in Money in the Bank. Right now, it's Bayley's world, and we're just living in it.
Okay.
It's all about Mariah. It's Mariah's world.
It might be Mariah's
wrong
world.
Wrong promotion.
World doesn't span promotion. It's Mariah's world.
I mean, looking at Maniac sweatshirt, I think he thinks we're talking about AEW today.
Oh, just the sweatshirt?
Turn the hand around.
Da-na-na, 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 da-na-na.
Yeah, we're not going to be hearing that for a while.
Why not?
Because he's having surgery.
Yeah, but he can come back and be on commentary a couple times. He's going to come
back. He'll be on Long Island.
Is he having surgery?
Yes.
That's the word.
He'll be on Long Island.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Shit.
All right, with that said, what do you got, Slick?
Oh, I was just going to say Tiffy is on Chris Van Vliet talking about having a pink briefcase and bedazzling it when Money in the Bank comes. So,
oh yeah, well clearly she's becoming Money in the Bank.
Hopefully they like hold it for a little bit and not like every other woman's Money in the Bank where they cash in basically.
Triple H knows what he's doing. He's not making you got it. There were clearly times where Vince McMahon just showed up like angry to the arena, and he's like, guess what, Baron Corbin? Like, you're losing the you're losing the briefcase tonight, bitch. Okay, with that said, and all that taken into note, we got RKO, which, by the way, I was sleeping on the branding. The shirts are pretty sick. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. So, I mean, I must have missed it. Like what makes Tama Tonga like the new like, crazy enforcer? I thought this was Solo's role. I thought Solo was supposed to be like the crazy enforcer role. But then what did they realize? That he just lost too many matches when he went like 0-30 and they couldn't do that anymore?
Well, he's now the tribal chief. Remember, he was next in line.
Yeah, but like Solo's not really the tribal chief.
He's acting tribal chief. He's like the interim tribal chief.
He beat John Cena, who's like, that's like beating like Rafael Nadal like right now.
How do you go from losing like every match in a year to being the tribal chief? I thought
when they did the show after WrestleMania and Paul Heyman was like, wins and losses matter here. I thought he was saying that to Solo Sikoa. Like, it's not like house shows anymore where you're like losing every week. Like, you have to win like on TV. But apparently they're talking about Roman losing one match in like 3.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. Well,
once the Usos lost the tag titles last year, they were pretty much, you know, in the doghouse.
They were in the doghouse. I give you
that. And I think everyone's saying, they've done a good job presenting Tama Tonga, but saying, like, he's this insane, like, indestructible force after these couple showings to me is just a bit, like, sugar-coated. I mean,
he's indestructible, or they're presenting him like that. They're just presenting him as a savage.
But I like what they're going for. I just think it's exactly like saying though, they're just missing the mark a little bit. Like, I love the angle that like he's so angry at Kevin Owens, he just rammed his car into them. But if they were really angry, like, why are the cars just out in the parking lot, like with nobody standing around them? Like, wouldn't they have been fighting or something like that? Something like that. I do like the angle how they went off air last night, how they were just fighting. Again, I think we're back to a little bit of like when it comes to the backstage segments, like chaos and a little bit of craziness with Triple H, especially with the storytelling, what's happening in the background and stuff as well. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, the background foreshadowing has been A1 since Triple H has taken over. I will give it that. Shout out to Liv and Dom going to the... And
well, that was the one thing about the Attitude Era too. It sounds crazy, but like right now, there's almost a tunnel vision where when someone gets like a championship shot, like they're the only one who interacts with the champion or things like that. And one of the great things about the Attitude Era was you would just have like random people in the back, you know, like interacting with like champions and stuff like that. So it made the show a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more of a wild card. But speaking of wild card, of course, so we got a little off track there though. With the match, Parthi, why don't you start us off and we'll go around the horn here, up the ladder, I guess you should say, on Wrestling Motion. Oh, no, I just Mike Wazowski do. Tag team match, Randy Orton and what happened?
I said he deserves being Mike Wazowski'd.
Okay, that's fair. He does deserve
it. Whatever, you can still hear me and that's all that matters.
Randy Orton and KO versus the Bloodline. Who you got, Parthi?
Tama Tonga's the new... shiny toy in the Bloodline, and he's being established, like we said, as a badass, as a savage, as a new enforcer to basically take over Solo Sikoa's role. So they're going to reestablish the Bloodline as a force to be reckoned with. They're going to go over Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. The only question is, and I'll put it to you guys, you know, after you make your prediction, do we see Jacob Fatu? He's the sword of Damocles hanging over this whole thing. We know that he signed, sealed, and delivered. We had no idea about Tama Tonga until he was on SmackDown. It was maybe rumors out there, but no solid reports of Tama Tonga signed for and going to be a part of the Bloodline. But we know Jacob Fatu is out there. We know he's in the system already. It's just a matter of where and when. And I think today is going to be the where and the when. What do you think, Rob?
What do I think? I think that you're stealing Le Perfet's ideas.
Whose ideas am I stealing?
Are you stealing Le Perfet's ideas, Parthi?
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Wait, I'm doing... Let Profet's predictions before he can do them. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Who does this guy think he is?
I'm the head of the table, damn it.
But I'll go on now. The Bloodline's gonna win this one. There will be some chaos, some some destruction going on around this ring. And yes, I do think Jacob Fatu returns tonight. Or not returns, debuts tonight.
Wow.
I just can't see the spot being France. I can't wait for Jacob Fatu to come in. I feel like they save it for SmackDown or something, a live show in the US. I don't know why. It just seems a bit they prove me wrong, but the logistics of having him debut his first ever WWE show in across the pond in France just seems a bit much to me. But Triple H can't fumble this. I mean, you have to have the Bloodline win this. Bloodline needs to look stronger than ever for the entire time until Roman comes back. So Bloodline's going to win here.
Yeah, they're going to look strong in this match. They may have to do something shady or something at the end to win it, just because obviously this is KO and Randy Orton. I mean, you can't, you know, just have them like get squashed or anything. But with that said, you're absolutely right. Bloodline needs to win this match. They need to get momentum for when Roman comes back. You can already tell they're salivating. They're getting, you know, we want Roman chance, you know, a month out from WrestleMania. That shit's going to be cinematic when he comes back as a face, ultimately, to face what will likely be a super heel Bloodline, with probably reluctant Paul Heyman almost being like a hostage within the crew. So, yeah, Bloodline, Tamatanga, Solo Sikoa probably hits like 18 Samoan spikes to finally get the job done. But the Bloodline wins tonight. And that means it is main event time, folks. Main event tonight is the Kentucky Derby. If you're out, if you're about, make sure you get into Batavia Downs, your local OTB, to begin on the action. Batavia Downs is more,
lots more. I'll definitely be heading to OTB right after we get off the air, personally.
Before we move on, Maniac, do you think Fatu debuts?
Here's the thing. I've been hearing this guy's name for a couple of months now. They've been talking about, you know, bringing in, you know, one more to the Bloodline. They've obviously been bringing in Tamatanga. I don't even know anymore. I'm kind of like numb to it. I don't know a lot about this guy, Fatu. I know they signed him, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly he's waiting in the wings. I don't know if he's coming here. One thing that I do want to nitpick before we get to the main event, and I did want to make this point. I'm a little disappointed. And listen, I'm sure there's stuff behind the scenes that I don't understand that goes with all this. Little disappointed that there's no U.S. title on the line tonight. In France would be cool. And Intercontinental title.
Yeah, Intercontinental is definitely a big fumble, I feel like, especially with Sammy, too, being a
this
French
crowd. Like I feel like, sorry, it's like not to jump back at your point, but yes, Intercontinental title, any chance you're outside of North America should almost be a guaranteed defense.
Yeah, and especially with how over Sammy is, just defeating Gunther. He's French Canadian. I mean, you had KO talking to the French crowd in French last night. It would just be a layup. And so it's a bit surprising.
For sure. And it's not like he doesn't have a feud right now. He has a feud with two different guys that could have easily made a triple threat match. It's a bag fumbled there.
Maybe they didn't feel a match. Sami Zayn's been having good matches with Bronson Reed. They felt maybe it was overkill. Maybe they went to the well one too many times. Maybe they didn't feel Bronson Reed was ready for a PLE spotlight, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, and again, it's not, you know, it's one of those things I nitpick it when it happens in the chat. It's like, I feel like if Tony Khan was in charge of WWE and we were like, oh, why is the Intercontinental title not being defended in, like, you know, Europe, basically? Like, but on this side of things, when we're talking about it like this, Triple H, like, okay, there must be some reason. Like, you know, I mean, the Sami Zayn must be, like, getting rest or must be, like, getting, like, you know, some time off. Again, we make concessions for, you know, things that they happen in WWE that we don't do in the same as AEW. That's the only interesting point.
Yeah, because of the pay-per-view model where you got to get as many guys on the show in order to get their paychecks. PLE model streaming, you know, everybody gets paid the same, I guess, one way or the other.
Yeah, and at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I had to get that in there at least once. But it's time to smoke them if you got them, because it is time for our main event. The singles match for the Undisputed. What the hell? I mean, is it? No, it's not letting me show this.
Intern.
Okay, there we go. Singles match for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Again, a first defense, a common theme for this show, as we've seen, obviously. With that said, this should be a banger. I mean, right? I'm thinking that we are penciling here, gents, for 25 to 30 minutes. I think we're going to see something out of AJ Styles we haven't seen in a minute. I think we're going to look very close to him winning. I think there will be a crazy crowd spot somewhere in this. Ultimately, Cody Rhodes retains in about, like a 25 to 28 minute match. But again, should be a very classic match. If you remember, when Reigns had one of his early championship runs, they ran him against AJ Styles twice in the year that AJ Styles debuted with WWE. I think it was 2016, and they were both bangers. So I think this should be an absolute banger. Select, what do you got?
Yeah, as much as they've put Cody on a pedestal lately with this title since he's won, I think the presentation they've given for AJ Styles leading up to this match has been incredible. Just the behind-the-scenes training footage and stuff. And AJ Styles looks like in the best shape maybe of his life. This will definitely be a banger. Two former Bullet Club members going at it in France on a WWE PLE for the WWE Championship nonetheless. I mean, the story writes itself. This is going to be a great match. Ultimately, Cody retains, but AJ is going to have a great showing, and the crowd is not going to be disappointed going home after this match.
Yeah, this match is going to be too sweet. But Cody's first title defense, you're obviously not going to take it off of him anytime soon. But these two should put on a banger match. I believe it's the first time ever we're seeing these two in WWE. It'll be a great match. And I think they built this feud up pretty well, even how quick it was. The crowd last night during their little promo was unbelievable. I mean, they just made a face-to-face even 10 times better. And obviously, Cody will end up on top and have his first title defense in overseas. One more than Roman Reigns had in his 3.5 years.
This message isn't just going to be too sweet. It's going to be
trop sucré.
Who does this guy think he is?
Who do you think you are, Katsuyori Shibata?
I'm the perfect.
Who's ripping off whose gimmicks around here?
I'm the perfect.
Anyway, yes, Not going to finish his story and then drop the title in the next PLE. It's going to be a nice Bullet Club matchup. They're going to, you know what? They faked out the too sweet, at least AJ Styles did the other night, and gave Cody a nice old slap. I think Cody is going to earn AJ Styles' respect to the point where after the match, they're going to respectfully too sweet each other and go their separate ways. But Cody's going to go over, of course. His story with the title is not done by a long shot.
Cool story you got there.
Well, why does he have to beat AJ Styles to earn his respect? I thought we did this whole adversity run last year so he could win everyone's respect at once so he could legitimately win the title. That's what I don't understand.
He doesn't seem to earn AJ Styles' respect, at least for the moment.
Okay. But you get my point.
I don't know if this isn't about adversity. He doesn't have to face adversity anymore. He's the champion.
But because he went through everything that he went through. He Nakamura coming out like 28 times during a Raw to face him. Facing Lesnar every 2 months for no reason. Like, all that shit.
Yeah, but apparently AJ isn't impressed.
He earned Brock's respect.
Okay. All right. Well said. Well, am I crazy or did we sweep across the board?
Anticipated we were all going to sweep across the board.
Yeah, I give you credit.
That's one thing too about these international PLEs is the chalk is crazy hitting. I mean, you could have bet every favorite for the Elimination Chamber and made a buck on that parlay. I feel like you could do the same today.
But I do think eventually that will change with how many international pay-per-views they have this year.
I agree.
But right now, it is very chalky.
I mean, yeah, with five matches, and I mean, like those, the only one I could see there being a different result is the tag match Bloodline and RKO. But I think you have to have Bloodline win that. That's the only one, though, I feel like could differ.
Yeah, that one has a little variability.
There are only five matches in Elimination Chamber, too. So they're really, you know, limiting the matches in the in international PLEs, where they could easily do six at least.
Let me tell you a little bit of a wild card that we might not be seeing, though. And it does seem so predictable. Bianca and Jade Unstoppable. Maybe just one, like, something from Bianca to Jade, and they could actually probably start that storyline, like, this week if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could. One thing I feel like we need to touch on, too, before we wrap up is, are there not rumors of John Cena in France?
And Uncle Howdy.
Yes.
Right, yes. I meant to say, I saw that Uncle Howdy teaser from last night before we went on the air. As much not a fan as I am of this whole thing, that teaser was awesome. That was really creepy, and I really enjoyed it. Just putting it during Cody's segment is a bit odd.
All the marks were typing all caps. Uncle Howdy's about to end the story in Paris.
Yeah,
or in France.
You're about to have Uncle Howdy open a new book in the story. the sequel. You want to talk about adversity? Wait till Uncle Howdy comes into the picture. But could we see Wyatt Six, John Cena interruption? What do you guys think?
I think that's going to be an extra segment to make up for the fact that there's only five matches. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
I mean, there's got to be some filler, right?
Yeah, Cena's going to come out and say, "We need a WrestleMania in France."
Night one in London, night two in France. Makes sense.
Wrestle Francia. John Cena is like the ultimate like pillow of WWE now. If someone needs to get over big and just like stomp the shit out of somebody, like just have Cena doing something innocent and then like just get owned.
You want to talk about karaoke night in France? If Cena comes out, that crowd is gonna be singing.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Well, hey, we're singing. Thanks for singing along with us here on YouTube and X. Backlash, what? Just 45 minutes away, gents, right?
1:00, hour 45.
Oh, okay, hour 45. So make sure you're tuning in. Get to our picks. It was sweep across the board, but some fun Backlash trivia. What do you got?
One little fun exercise here with the Kentucky Derby coming up. You guys can throw this out. Have we ever seen any wrestling inspired Kentucky Derby horses names? And if not, who would make good names? Like you know, coming up in the last track, the last leg, it's Know Your Role and Yeet. Yeet and Know Your Role. Know Your Role and Yeet.
Well, that's actually, that'd make for some
Reginald. Training. Reginald is a great horse and wrestling name.
Nightmare is that would be an iconic horse name.
Oh, that would be. I feel like that, there's definitely been something like that.
Definitely, I feel like The Undertaker has definitely like had like a horse name.
Oh, you gotta have The Undertaker.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that's a layup. The Undertaker is a horse.
Yeah.
It can't be the direct names. It has to be like the nicknames, like Deadman or Phenom or something.
Okay,
like
Bartham.
It's just I'm nitpicking. All right.
Oh, Heartbreak Kid.
Kane. Nature Boy. Nature Boy would be great.
Devil's favorite demon. Yes.
Rated R Superstar? That would be sick. That would be sick.
That would be pretty cool.
All right.
There's some cross-branding Triple H has got to get on right now.
The Rated R Superstar has a horse. I'm not going to say it.
Let me just see real quick before we sign off. I know we're just minutes away here, but let's see if there's any gambling lines for Backlash yet.
It's got to be all like -1,000 across the board.
Let's parlay them all together and throw a buck.
It's just Royal Rumble next year and Money in the Bank for this year. Right now, Money in the Bank for this year. We got LA Knight as the favorite. Dom Mysterio right behind him. Sami Zayn right behind them. Jey Uso right behind them. Got Gunther as well.
Dom Mysterio with the briefcase. That would be fun.
Dom going to be cleared by then?
Who cares?
I think they gave him 6 to 8 weeks, Dom Mysterio.
Yeah, who cares?
Like I'm saying, he could do one of those things where he just comes out in like the middle of the match and wins or something. Tiffany Stratton though, even money. It's either Tiffany. There's three like big like peel away favorites for Money in the Bank. Tiffany Stratton at even money, Chelsea Green at +180, and then Jade Cargill at +250.
Chelsea Green being up there is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy for
I wouldn't see them putting – I mean, they're putting a rocket on Jade Cargill, but not a singles rocket just yet. She could be next year's Women's Money in the Bank winner. I could see that if she progresses far enough.
She could be next year's Royal Rumble winner.
No. Slick, you got to know the progression. Next year, she's going to eliminate like 12 women from the Royal Rumble. Like that's going to be – or she's going to be the longest one to last. She'll do some type of metric that's like the greatest at that point. And then, you know, she's got to climb it up.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'll let you know, just like I'll let everyone else know that they can get this podcast anywhere. They can get all their podcasts. So make sure you're following along every week as we wrestle with not our budget, not our conscience, with emotion, folks. Backlash is just 100 minutes away. So stay tuned because say backlash. Bon.